Everything the Lord allows us to step in of our own making is there for a good purpose, and most of the time it's for that purpose of bringing us right back to Him, drawing us nearer to Him in all ways. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the first chapter of Ephesians. You know, some churches out there would probably be sitting here going, "Oh no, he's going to preach from Ephesians again. Here we go. Predestination." Yeah, I like that. I've always enjoyed that.
Me too.
Me too.
When God convicts us of what we are, we know how dead we were before He shined His light in our hearts, don't we? We know just exactly how dead that was, because we had nothing to do with the true and living God. We didn't want anything to do with Him. We were comfortable in our own little place right here. Some of us even thinking that that was the most peaceful place to be. Right, Mike? And then boom! The Lord brings us under the preaching of His true, sovereign, merciful grace and teaches us He rules it all. My dad taught me a very valuable lesson. "Come on, Dad, you guys got money. You know, help me out a little bit, will you? I want to get a car." "Nope. You go out and you work. You pay for it yourself. You'll take way better care of it." You know, he was absolutely wrong about that. I worked hard. Making tacos every day, flipping burgers, whatever the Lord had me doing at that time, mowing lawns. And I bought my own first car. Cost me $25. Guy said, sold it to me. He says, "Well, if you want a battery for it, it doesn't have a battery, you're going to have to take one out of the neighbor's car." So I took one out of the neighbor's car. And we drove off in that car for $25, and we got down the street, and the front tire fell off, and I saw it just going off into the field way out there. "Oh, that's what that bag of washers he gave me is for." So I got my tire, and I put it back on there, and 2 weeks of that stuff, I had had enough of that $25 car. I wanted to share that with you because I want to lay down a little bit of a something for you. When you buy something, you want it, don't you? When you pay for it out of your own pocket, you're going to have it, aren't you? I was going to have that car no matter what Dad said. I was going to have that car. I had it for just 2 weeks. Then we ran it off of a cliff. That was probably the best thing I did with that car, because we filmed it. I don't know whatever happened to that film, but when you buy something, when you pay for it, you're going to have it, aren't you? You understand what that means, don't you? You're all in that very same boat, aren't you? You go out and you've worked for something, you've taken the hard-earned cash that you have, and you purchased something with it. That's mine now. I'm going to have it. You can't take it from me. It's mine. That's why owning your own house is such a nice and wonderful thing, isn't it, for those of you who know? Somebody can't just come in and say, "You know what? I'm going to sell my house. You got to move out." That was my lesson from Dad. Join me at verse 1 of Ephesians, if you would. You'll see all this come together in just a moment. Verse 1 of chapter 1, Ephesians. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus." And I want you to catch this next part. "And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, peace. Peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. My title this morning is The Purchased Possession. And we're going to look at 5 points this morning. Who are the purchased? What were they purchased from? Why were they purchased? What were the means used to purchase them? And what is the result of their being purchased? Now, our first question can clearly be seen in several scriptures, but allow me, if you would, to read just a few this morning, and I'll go through them kind of quickly. So if you don't mind, if you need a list of them later, I'll be happy to give them to you. But let's begin with Numbers 16:5. Remember, our question is, who are the purchased? In Numbers 16:5, we read, "And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his." Who are his? Who are those who are purchased? His. He's going to show us who his are. And who is holy. Now, we know that all mankind come into this world with a wicked heart. Scripture tells us that. So these members, this company of Korah, could not be those that are holy there of their own, could they? No. They have to be holy from something else. And we'll get to that question in a moment too. But even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and he will cause him to come. He will cause him to come. People aren't coming to the Lord. People aren't coming to God. They are caused to come to God, because we are enmity against God from birth. We come into this world saying, we'll not have that man rule over us. We're our own people. Why should I have that carpenter who went to the cross and was killed rule over me? I'll tell you why. Because he's God. And whether you'll have him or not, he is ruling over you. And he causes him to come near unto him, even him who he hath chosen. There's that word. And will he cause to come near unto him? Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, we read, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God." There is that holy thing again. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but yet our Lord is talking about a people who are holy. They were holy before the world was ever created. Well, wait a minute, John, that doesn't make sense. You just said they came into this world dead in trespasses and sin. God looks at him as holy, though, because of what his son would do. You see, when God says he's going to do something, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's what I like about the God of Scriptures. When he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Because he rules over it, and it can't go any other way, can it? That's true peace. We talked about a false peace in our Bible study. One that kept disappearing even when we tried our tail ends to work something off, but yet we knew that the works that we did were not good enough. So that peace would go away for a few moments, and we'd go, oh, now I got to start working a little harder. I got to do a little more of this. I got to do a little more of that. I'm just not working hard enough. True peace is I can't do anything. There's nothing in me that can do anything. He has done it all. For thou art a holy people, the Lord says in Deuteronomy 7:6, unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. This is God talking to his people. This is God talking to each and every one of his people sitting here today. You belong to him. He looks upon you as a holy people, belonging to him. You're the apple of his eye. He's loved you with an everlasting love, so much so that he gave his only begotten son for our sakes. You talk about a deep well that we were talking about earlier. That's a pretty deep well that God would love John Reeves to spend and shed his own blood for me. Psalms 33 verse 12, we read, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that word Lord is in capital letters. Lord of everything. And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Not those who walk the aisle. Not those who made a decision. Not those who are exercising their own free will. But those that he has chosen to have his inheritance. We have it all. Just like Brother Mike said earlier. Everything. All that is created, everything that you can think of, everything that you can see, it's all ours. Because we are co-inheritors with our groom, our husband. I was telling my granddaughter and her husband yesterday, right here in this very pulpit, what a picture our Lord has given us of marriage. I couldn't help but stand here and think, do these two young people have any inkling of what I'm saying means? Do they have any slightest understanding of what it means for a husband to give himself for his wife? And then I had to stop and think, does John have any inkling of what it means? Someday I will. What a glorious day that'll be, Mike. Psalms 132:13, it says, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his inhabitation, for his habitation. He hath desired it. The God of Scriptures has a desire. It is going to come to pass. He created it all. Why? It's got to come to pass, is what I think. There's no question to that. In Isaiah 43:10, ye are witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. There you go. There's John 3:16. Whosoever believeth. He has chosen to give faith to some. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. That's God's word. I'm not interpreting things. I'm not trying to tell you this is what John thinks. That's what's God's word. I like election. I like predestination. Because I know He's true. His word is true. I would have never sought Him. He sought me. Because He's loved me from before the world ever was. That ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Or in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. You, beloved of the Lord. I could understand why God would let me go. Beloved of the Lord, He has loved you with an everlasting love. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What about our very text that we just read in verses 4 and 5 of Ephesians? According as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, see? Look here, folks. What's his next words? This isn't John's interpretation. This is not John's, well, you know, I think this is what this means. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Election is not a whim of some man's imagination. It is clearly declared throughout all of Holy Scriptures. God chose whose sacrifice He would take between Abel and Cain. You know, that's a pretty terrible thing to think about, isn't it? He chose Abel's. And then Cain slew his brother out of jealousy. We were talking about that in this morning's Bible study. We go through some pretty terrible trials, don't we? We talked about my brother Lee and his wife and losing their children. We didn't mention Pastor Gene and Judy, but they too. Pastor Gene's own son died in his arms. Right there. What a terrible thing that must have been to go through. How do we see the good in that? Yet, the very things that we see as being so terrible, we were able to sit back and look at this morning in a glorifying our Lord way. And I'll share that with you. My nephew was struggling with the things of this life. Struggling hard. But yet there were times when he had sat down and confessed to his father what his beliefs were. And I have to go on what my brother says, and I can trust, I believe what he says, and he believes his son, is a child of God from those confessions. Yet Joe had sinned all he could. He could not sin anymore. The Lord paid for all of his sins on that cross. All of his sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not commit another. It was his time to go. And even though the means of going was terrible to you and I, if he's a child of God, can you imagine how wonderful it is for him right now to stand in the glory of our Savior? Thank you, Lord, for showing us some good in that very thing, in that very terrible thing. Election is not a whim of man's imagination. It is clearly declared throughout Holy Scriptures. God chose a people to call into himself, and he calls them my sheep. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Establishing that God has a people, why should he need to purchase them, you might think? Are not all things his? That brings me to our second question. What were they purchased from? In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, I'll read it for you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All mankind fell in Adam, and sin entered in. And as we read in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered in into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Or in the 6th chapter, verse 23 of Romans, for the wages of sin is death. Death of the flesh comes upon all men, doesn't it? I don't know anybody who's lived forever, do you? Not in this flesh anyway. And it comes upon all men because of sin. We sin because we are sinners, and most will continue in their dying sin, denying the true God and living according to their own will, a will that is enmity against God. You know, that's God's word. That's the word of the Lord. The will of man is enmity against God. That's the worst, strongest kind of language you could use to describe the will of men. Enmity. It's because the will of men is sinful. And God cannot be in the presence of sin. And as we who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ have that revealed over and over and over again to us, not just in the preaching, but in our own experiences, His grace is magnified even bigger than what we saw yesterday. It's renewed every morning. His mercies become new every day. I wake up and think, I've got breath in me again. Thank you, Lord. A will that will not have the true and living God is what we come into this world. We will not have a God rule over us, even though He does, whether we want Him or not. And that brings us to our third question. Why would God pay the price for some of His elect? Look at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 again in Ephesians chapter 1. Why? According as He hath chosen us in Him. There's reason one. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. There's number two. You see the reasons coming out in verses, folks? Why would God go to the cross? Why would God become flesh and spill His own blood for you and I? That we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love. Because of His everlasting love. Because of love that He has had for His people, and eternal love before time ever was and until time goes away. A continuing love that will never cease. There's that deep pool again, Mike. We just swim around in the ripples of the top and bask in the wonderfulness of that cool, cool pool of God's grace and mercy to His loved ones. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. There's another reason right there. To the praise of the glory of His grace. There's another one. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Another one. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And here's the one I love to say over and over and over again, according to the riches of His grace. These chosen were chosen before the world was, before a star ever twinkled in the sky. chosen that God would set His love upon this people. He set His love upon you and I before we ever even knew it. So much so that He sent His only begotten Son to be our substitute. That's salvation right there in one word. Substitution. What you and I should be receiving for what we have done in the flesh, our Lord received for us. Took it upon Himself. He bore our sins in His body. He stood in our place and He took our sins upon Him and He suffered the penalty in our stead. He was cursed for our sakes that we would be made righteous in Him. In Jeremiah 31:3, we read another reason why the Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God the Holy Spirit comes to His chosen in the day of His love, and He gives life to poor dead sinners. Life everlasting, life eternal. Those who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, as we read in verse 4. A people who were given in the covenant between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A pact. Another promise that must be kept. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not maybe, but shall. God the Father gave God the Son a people to redeem, and so He did. And as Jesus Christ, in everything that He did on this earth, He walked perfectly before the Father. Even the shedding of His blood. As for the fourth question, this is the means as needed for purchasing these loved ones. Hold your place here in Ephesians and turn over to Acts chapter 20 if you would please. Scriptures declare that there is no remission of sin without blood. The wages of sin is death. We come into this world and we walk as all do, dead in trespasses and sin, yet some, a remnant, according to the word, shall be saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. How? How is that? How could that be? By what means shall the sins of the children of God be paid? By the perfect obedience of the Lord in all things, even the obedience to the cross. By the perfect blood of the one who gave Himself for us. That's how it will be paid for. The one who gave Himself for us that we would be with Him in eternity. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. That's the means. The perfect blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross are the means for which was paid. Our debt was paid. By His own blood He entered once into the holiest of holies, and He sprinkled His perfect blood on the mercy seat. You know who the mercy seat is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what the point is making there? The point is that there's nothing for us to do. It's all of Him. It's His blood. It's His mercy seat. It's all of Christ. Nothing else. Once and for all. Putting away our sins forever, never to be seen by God the Father again. When He looks upon you and I, He looks and He sees the blood of His Son, perfect in every way. Therefore, He sees us perfect in His Son. He is known as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In Revelation 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Our Lord will not share His glory with another, and that's what all the religions of the world want to do. I have a very wise, and he may listen to this, that's okay. He knows I'm the pastor of a church, and he knows I'm the pastor of a Sovereign Grace church. And he's a very wise man when it comes to investing the monies and making them grow. And he's doing, the Lord has blessed me greatly with this man. But he trusts in his decision. I walked down the aisle and gave myself to God. You see where the glory is in that? It's not in Christ, is it? It's in what man has done. To Him, to our Lord and Savior, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And because of the debt was paid in full, the lost have been redeemed. The vessels of mercy have been given the gift of faith, and they believe the word of God. How can you know, as I and many here today, if we are the redeemed? Grab a hold of something. This is going to be tough to understand. Believe God. All of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How can you know if you're one of the redeemed? Do you believe God? Do you believe the Lord when He says, I have a purchased possession? And that brings us to the fifth one. What are the results? What are the results of God calling His elect out from the world unto Himself? What are the results of them, of Him revealing His Son in them? What His Son has done, going to that cross and shedding His blood for their sins. What are the results of that? Peace. The very peace that we talked about in our Bible study this morning. This whole world around us can go to whatever it wants because God's got a control on that and I don't got nothing to worry about. Oh Lord, help me to remember that every moment of every day because I forget quite often. All I got to do is look at Yahoo for a second and talk about some. What a name. What a fitting name, Yahoo. Bunch of Yahoo is what it is. Google. My goodness, where do we come up with names for stuff? Are you getting my point, folks? We're a purchased possession. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what is going on around us, in this world, it's just the flesh. There's something greater, bigger, and eternal out there. And our Lord has predestinated us to be right there in the midst of it with our Savior. So much so determined it, He bought us. He paid the price for us completely. Stop looking in the mirror. And I'm talking to myself here. Because I can walk out this door in 20 seconds, not even that, less than that, stumble and fall in my own sins and my own thoughts. Stop looking in the mirror, John, and look to my Lord and say, Savior. How can you know? We believe God's word. We believe God. He rules in our hearts and we see Him as King of all that is. We glory in the knowledge of Him. To Him be the glory and dominion forever. Scripture says, He that glory, let him glory in the Lord. This is the result of our Lord's purchase. The revelation that we belong to Him. We are bought with a price and the price is paid in full. Now we belong to Jesus. Look back at your text in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit now that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Purchased possessions, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. Purchased possessions. We belong to Him. Lord, help me to turn away from living for John and help me to live for the one who bought, paid, and will have what He bought and paid for. Amen.